Okay, page 1032, Pasuk Yud Dalid. It's 7 lines in the top of the page. Okay, last time we were discussing all about witchcraft, and what's forbidden for a Jew to look into all those things. We're discussing, according to the Rambam writes, Pachad, they don't exist, it's foolishness and stupidity, and it's not real, and most commentators disagree with the Rambam, and they say it is real, but you're not allowed to do it. But that's the whole thing we're discussing from the thing. Okay. Now the Torah says like this. Now the Torah is going to be discussing the concept of a Navi, concept of a prophet. And Torah says, Ki ha-goyim ha-ela, these goyim, asher ata yoyre sheisem, that you're going to be conquering and inheriting, ome'eninim v'okesmim, Yishmo, they listen to astrologers and the diviners, you know, the witchcraft people. But Hashem did not give this to you. No, that's not what Hashem wants from you. They're allowed to do it. They're allowed to do the witchcraft. They're allowed to do all those things. But you don't get it. What do you have, which is instead of that, which is even much greater? He says, and Rashi adds over here, by the way, why is it forbidden? Because God rests his Shechina on a prophet. So if you need anything, you go to the prophet. The prophet is not witchcraft. The prophet is not future telling. We'll soon see what all these things are. Navi mekir b'cha me'achecho kameini, a prophet from your midst, of your brothers kameini like me. And right away, the commentators explain, what does it mean? A Navi like me will arise. Well, it can't mean a Navi as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, because the later on the Torah says, there was never a Navi as great as Moshe. Lekom Navi Eid B'Yisrael Kameshe. There's no such thing as a prophet as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Me'achecho Kameini? So, just like I'm a Jew, it has to be a Jewish prophet. It doesn't mean a prophet like me, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. It means a prophet like me that's a Jew. You can't have a non-Jew. A Jew is not allowed to have a non-Jewish prophet. In other words, a Jew would not be able to go to Bilam or anything like that. As Yokim Lucha Hashem Alakach, Hashem will establish it to you. Elav Tishmon, to whom you should listen. So there's a positive mitzvah. And let me just quote over here. It's really the expression of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Seder HaTeira, the foundations of Teira. In fact, it's one of the 13 animamins that many people say. One of the 13 fundamental aspects of concepts of belief is that Hashem gives prophecy to a human being. That's one of the 13. It's based on this pasuk, but it's foundations of belief. And he says, he doesn't say it's from Rambam, but it's mamash the wording of Rambam. The only nevuah, in order to be a person who's fit for nevuah, for prophecy, it says it has to be a chacham gadol b'chachma, brilliant person, giber b'midos, very strong, good midos, his Yetzirah never conquers him. His Yetzirah never gets the better part of him. Elohim is Gaber al Yetzirah Tamid. He is constantly overpowers the Yetzirah. Baldei Rechav and Nechayna Ad Ma'id. A very broad-minded person. He says, a person who is full with all these midas, that person is fit to have nevuah, to have prophecy. Now, there are different levels of nevuah. Just like you have different levels of strength, different levels of wisdom, there are different levels of nevuah. Basically, nevuah is divided, prophecy is divided into two general categories. But even in the subdivisions, there's a lot of different levels. This Navi was greater than this Navi is greater than this Navi. There's another interesting, the Gemara says that there are thousands and thousands of prophets. This that we have Navi, in, you know, Torah, Navi, and Meksuvim, it says in the Gemara like this, Navua, that was relevant for all generations was written. Nevuah that wasn't relevant for all generations was not written. If it was relevant for all generations, then Hashem... So the many people had Nevuah. And by the way, Nevuah that the Navi had was not prophecy just to tell the future. As the Rambam writes, it's that you have... It's a certain level of Kedusha that the person gets sometimes for himself. The Navi sometimes gets it for himself. Not always is a Navi getting Nevuah to tell people. If Hashem tells him it's a Nevuah to tell people, he has an obligation to tell it. As we'll discuss the various things. Okay, so
maybe
there's...
They would believe him?
Well, we're going to get into that in the Pesukim coming up. There was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Gadol Shebenaviim, the greatest, like the Pasuk says, there was never a Navi anywhere close to Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, the Gemara says like this, Kol HaNeviim, this is the expression of the Gemara is, Kol HaNeviim Misnaba B'Koy, V'Meshe Misnaba B'Zeh. All Neviim, when they say, if you look, in fact, throughout Navi, all the Haftarahs, Koy Amar Hashem, Koy Amar Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh HaDavar Shetziva Hashem. This is what the prophecy that Hashem said. What's the difference between Zeh and Koy? This is the fundamental difference, the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it down all this, between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other prophets. All the other prophets were not able to get prophecy when they were awake in the body. Their body was not holy enough to be able to get this level of Nevuah. So when did a Navi get Nevuah? When they slept. When they went to sleep, or even as we find recently in Chumash by Avraham Avinu, who was a great Navi, but not like Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, when Hashem told them, Brisbane Absodim, you know, the covenant, the whole prophecy about the Jews 400 years, and says, Tardema G'dayla Nafla Olav. Avraham Avinu in the middle of the day, all of a sudden became very sleepy. When you sleep, the neshama leaves the body. The neshama, therefore, is not limited and restricted so much by the body. All the Nevi'im got the prophecy when they were sleeping.
It should be night or day.
Most of the time at night, but he said, I give the mashal by Avraham Avinu, Tadema was during the day. During the day, he fell asleep, and that's when he got this great Nevuah of Brisbane Absalom, about the Jews going into slavery. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, did it up, awake, in the body.
Alive.
Like it says, when Miriam and Aaron they spoke bad about the Ishu Kushis and Pashat Baleischa. So over there, the Pasuk says actually the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other prophets. The Pasuk, when Hashem is screaming at Miriam, it says like this. Neviachem, all the other prophets, Hashem b'mara elav esvad, in a vision. B'chalom adaber bo. Hashem speaks to him in a dream. Leichein avdi meisha, b'chol beisi nemenu, pe'el pe'adaber bo. I speak to him, so to speak, face to face. B'mara v'le b'chidus, with a clear vision, not with images or riddles. Usmunas Hashem yabed, and he sees actual division of God. So the Torah says clearly the unique greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, his body was so great, that's why he's called Ish Olikim, that even the body was of Moshe Rabbeinu was holy. He didn't need to go to sleep to get this prophecy. Not only that, the Medrash and the Gemara, and Rambam brings all this down, the another difference between all the prophets and Moshe Rabbeinu was, all the prophets didn't get Nevuah whenever they wanted. They didn't get Nevuah whenever they wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu,
anytime he wanted,
he texted and he got it. That's why you find in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu said, by Pesach Sheni, by the B'nai Salafchot, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, let me go ask God. And right away, Vayidav Hashem al Moshe. He didn't have to go to sleep. He didn't. They make an appointment with God. He had an open door policy. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get Nevuah, he got Nevuah. All the other Nevi'im, it wasn't up to them. When Hashem gave him Nevuah, he gave him Nevuah. When Hashem wanted, he gave him Nevuah. And even then was when he went to sleep. This is the difference between what the Gemara says, all the Nevi'im prophesied with Koy, Koam Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied with the word Zeh. When you say Zeh, as the Gemara uses the expression, Mare Be'etzpa, the Omer Zeh. You point with your finger, you say this. If it's not there, you can't say this. Zeh means this.
Exists.
That means face to face. It's right there. All the other Nevi'im said, Koy Amar Hashem, even in Hebrew means, so God said. In other words, and also when it says, Pe'al Pe'al Daber Be, mouth to mouth they speak to him, God doesn't have a mouth and he doesn't speak with a mouth. So what it means is like this. A Navi, if he was fit and whatever, it's time for Nevuah, Hashem gave him a vision. And that vision, when the Navi translated into words, came out the Nevuah that the Navi said in words. But he didn't hear voices, hello, Koam Hashem, whatever, Chazon Yeshayo, whatever the words were. They had a vision in the dream. It was like a dream, but a holy dream. And that vision translated itself into the words that the Navi said of the Nevuah.
They come by code or they come clear?
You have a dream ever?
Sometimes.
Okay. So that's what it is. But that dream was Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was clear. It's like as if, not, God forbid, Hashem doesn't have a mouth, pal, pal, dabar bay, Hashem doesn't have a mouth. But it means just like when you speak face to face, mouth to mouth, it's clear, not a vision, it's clear. That's how clear the Nevuah was by Moshe Rabbeinu.
So he heard Hashem's voice, right?
Again, either it was like a clear, not a vision, but a clear revelation of godliness.
Saw it or
hear
it?
Saw it, heard it. It's hard to know, did God speak words? And he, obviously the God doesn't have a mouth, but the Moshe Rabbeinu hear words.
Daber means is talk, you know?
Yeah, but Hashem, when it says Yad Hashem, he doesn't have a hand. When it says Ragloi, or Raglov Kamasi Livna Sasapir, all these psukim that speak about, the Rambam says clearly, the beginning of Rambam, in the Hukas Yisayda Teira, the Rambam writes clearly, that it doesn't mean Chas Hashem that Hashem has a hand or a mouth, it means Hashem speaks in language we could understand, just like a hand is to give, so when Hashem gives something, it's called the hand of Hashem. When you speak, you reveal something which was hidden, so when Hashem speaks, it says Hashem spoke, it means Hashem revealed something, but it doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that he heard words. Could be, I don't know. I'm saying, it's clear. It's like you see it face to face. It's not something that somebody tells you about, that you're visioning it, you're picturing it in your head. This is, you see clearly. That's the difference. You have sometimes somebody's trying to explain something to you, right? So you picture it in your mind. There's nowhere near if you clearly see it. You can't compare the two. But there's also other levels. You know, for instance, there's Ruach HaKodesh. When you say somebody has Ruach HaKodesh, that's not Nevuah. Nevuah is a much greater level. Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level of Nevuah. Then you have sometimes when it says a bas kol comes out, a voice from heaven. That's even lower than Ruach HaKodesh. Those are different levels of revelations of God revealing himself to people. When the Gemara says they were sitting and all of a sudden a bas kol came out from heaven. Yeah. So, it means that there was a revelation to the people there. You know, that's a lower revelation than Ruach HaKodesh, which is a lower revelation than Nevuah. Nevuah is a very great level of revelation.
Yosef was Nevuah or not?
Yeah, well, one of the things, we mentioned this in the past, if you stop, you know, again, if you learn Chumash the wrong way, like I mentioned by the group, you can have such a movie on this, of the dysfunctional family, starting from Adam and Chava with Cain and Hevel, all the way down to the whole Chumash Bereishis. There is about 300 dysfunctional families. Cain kills Hevel, Noach and his kids, Avram has a son, throws him out of the house, takes him back, there's one wife, two wives, and then there's a story with Yitzchak and Yishmael, and then you have Yaakov and Esav, and then you have Yosef and the brothers. I mean, if you take it simply, it's a bunch of crazy dysfunctional families.
Soap opera.
Soap opera. But obviously, number one, these are holy people. Okay, they're holy people. But if you have to think about it, just think for 1 second. If I tell you things, and I know you hate me for telling you it, how stupid can I be to keep telling it to you? I have to be a fool. If I know when I tell you something, you're going to hate me for it, why in the world am I going to keep telling it to you?
What's bothering
Why would a brilliant person do that?
What's bothering you?
What's bothering?
If you want something...
But why do I have to tell you if I know you're going to hate me? I shouldn't have just be quiet. Let's reiterate the question. Yosef has dreams. He tells them to the brothers. The brothers hate him. Okay? So what does he do? Yosef HaTzadik. What does he do? He keeps telling him another dream. What is he, stupid? What is he, a fool? So the Mefarshim explained, Chas V'Sholem, that Yosef didn't... Yosef, and it shows the greatness of the Ovis and the Shvatim. Yosef halachically knew that his dreams are nevuah, the prophecies. And we're going to learn soon in the Pasuk, a Navi that has nevuah and doesn't tell it, capital punishment. Chayiv Misa. Okay?
Like so Yonah.
What?
Yonah had to go and do something.
Yonah Taka had to go do it. And that's why he didn't. Then Hashem wanted to kill him. Right? And then he said, okay, I'm doing tshuva, I'm going to go do it. Correct? And we'll see about the authenticity of Nevuah, one of the proofs they bring, that sometimes a Navi could say something, it won't necessarily happen. So if it's for good, he won't necessarily happen, because they could do tshuva. We'll see, these are all the psukah, I'm just giving an introduction to it. So the answer is, the Mefarshim explained, Yosef was brilliant, Yosef was a tzaddik, Yosef was holy. What do you think, he was interested in his brothers killing him, hating him? Yosef got nevuah from Hashem, and it was relevant to the brothers and to Yaakov. He had an obligation, according to Torah, to tell it. And therefore, Yosef was such a tzaddik that even though he knew his brothers were going to hate him and were going to kill him because of it, he had no choice. And he said, if this is what God wants, this is what I do. So Yosef Taka says, Yosef's dreams were actually nevuah, and therefore Yosef had an obligation to tell the brothers, even though they didn't want to hear it. He had no choice. Yosef was a Navi. His dreams were nevuah. Okay, so these are the two general styles of nevuah, so to speak. Okay, so it sounds like this. So, instead of going to these witchcrafts and all these guys, I'm going to give you a Navi. K'chol asher shamaita, just like you said, that you asked him Hashem b'chayrev. V'chayrev is Har Sinai. B'yayim ha'kol lemer, in the day of when I gathered you all together by Matan Torah, what did you say to me? L'yayisiv l'shmeyaz kol Hashem alokai, we can't hear anymore. To the voice of Hashem, v'yayisash eisa, egdei l'hazayis, in this big fire that happened by Matan Torah, the Jews said, l'yayir era eid v'layomus. Meshav Beinu says to the Jews, do you remember, at Matan Torah, when Hashem was saying, d'aser sedibris, you told me then, Dabir ata imanu v'nishma. The Jew said, this revelation of godliness was way too much for me. So the Jew said, Meshav Beinu, you talk to us. So Meshav Beinu said, you remember you asked for this intermediary, this Navi? He said, this is what you're getting. So Taka Matan Torah, Hashem said to me, Hey Tivu, Kol asher dibeir. Heitiv asher dibeir. You're right. They're asking well. They're asking properly. Navi akim lahem mekerev achem kamecho. Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was repeating this to the Jews. I will establish a Navi from your brothers like you. V'nosan nasati devarim b'piv. I will put my words, instead of speaking you directly.
To me?
No, Hashem says, I will put my words in your mouth. Me, Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. V'dibar alem, and the Navi will speak. Eiz kol hashatzav, and everything I will command him. Okay? So basically, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what he's going to get prophets, and this is what's going to be, and, you know, even after Moshe Rabbeinu, there was prophecy. Prophecy stopped, though, during the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Nevuah stopped, and the Gemara says, even though Nevuah stopped, but they still had Baskel and Ruach HaKadosh. They still had Ruach HaKadosh, they had those things later. Okay, so he says like this. I just want to learn some more, and then we'll talk more about all these the concepts of prophecies, of prophets. Oh, by the way, another thing that says about the Navi, Mikibacha Me'achecha Kameini, a Navi had to be in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Yecheskel Ben Buzi, it says, said Navua outside of Eretz Yisrael, but he began his Navua, his prophecies, B'chlal, began in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no Navua.
Babel, they have been in, some of them in Babel.
Not Navua. No, it says, no, it says, we limit to Eretz Yisrael, and even those of Yecheskel, who said prophecy otherwise, have begun the prophecy in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Ramban says, it has to be, the Nevuah has to begin in Eretz Yisrael, and it can only be from a Jewish prophet. Okay, now it says like this. So now Hashem says like this. What the Navi says is coming from me. Right? So that's what Hashem's saying now. A person that will not listen to my words, that the Navi is speaking in my name, I will give him the heavenly punishment. Okay? And as Rashi brings on over here, it's like this. One who refuses to obey a prophet, a prophet who does not act in accordance with his own prophecy, or a Navi who holds back Nevuah that Hashem told him to say. So there's three things, three sins that Hashem says, if you don't listen to the Navi, you're going to get killed by me. There's three sins included that Rashi brings down. Number one, if the Jew doesn't listen to the prophet, if the prophet doesn't listen to his own prophecy, and if the prophet doesn't say the prophecy he's supposed to say, he doesn't communicate it to the Jewish people. So then, it says, "Anech Edrash Me'imei," he's gonna die a heavenly death. How, not Besdin, what?
How they trust it, no, how you trust it, he's saying right.
Your question, the Pasuk asks in Pasuk Chafala. Let's wait. Your question, the Pasuk asks, how do I know I can trust him? Okay. Acha Navi, but the Navi. Ashe yozil ledaber dover b'shmi. What happens though if a prophet will start saying prophecy that God didn't tell him? He's not, he says prophecy that Hashem never told him. Eisa shalei tzvisiv ledaber. Either that I didn't command him to say, or he's going to speak in the name of foreign gods. Okay? Umeisa Navi Ahu, that Navi gets punished. What happens to him? He gets chenek. He gets choked. It's one of the few punishments he gets choked. Either he speaks in the name of idols, or he has to speak only words that God told him, not that God told somebody else. He has to speak not in the name of other idols, he has to speak the name of Hashem. This is the mitzvah of the Navi. Now, the Pasuk asks a very interesting question. What's your question? If you're going to ask the question, how am I supposed to know if God didn't speak it or not? A Navi comes, and the Rashi says, it's like it happened by Hananya ben Ozan. Yeah? He says that the Kalim are in bubble, and it wasn't true, and then the other Nevi'im screamed at him. But the question is, a prophet comes with prophecy, how do I know if it's true or not? How do I know if it's real? Or if he's saying what God told him to, then not what? So he says like this. Asher yedaber anavi b'shem Hashem. If the Navi speaks in the name of God, v'lo yadav v'lo yavai, and it never will happen, what the Navi says will happen. Hu adaver asher leidibur Hashem. That's not what God spoke. Okay? Now, what's interesting is there's a number of issues over here that the Mefarshim explain. Number one, it doesn't, like we just said, it doesn't always have to happen. In other words, if it's something good, if the Navi says something good is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, then you know he's a Navi Sheker. But if a Navi says something bad is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean he's not a Navi.
And the Navi Sheker.
Navi Sheker means a false Sheker. A false. Yeah, but you think he's a Navi, or he was a Navi, and the guy's saying things that God never said. So it says like this. And in fact, the proof they bring us, one of the proofs they bring us from the Yoina story. Hashem says to Yoina, go to Nineveh, and tell him in a few days, Nineveh is going to be turned over. Nineveh Nepeches. Yeah? The pearl never happened. Nineveh was never turned over. Why? Because it says, when Yoina finally made it to Nineveh, and he told him the Nevuah, that Hashem's going to destroy the city of Nineveh, they all did tshuva. And because they did tshuva, they were able to undo the terrible gzeirah. That doesn't mean Yoina was a Navi Sheker. It doesn't mean he was a false prophet. He said Nineveh is going to be turned over, and it wasn't, because bad things could change if the people do tshuva. But if a Navi says something, not whether it's not good or bad, okay, and he says something is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, that's a Navi Sheker. And a Navi Sheker gets killed.
Or says something against the Torah, or do something that the Torah
doesn't. Or if he says something, yeah, but there's exceptions to this. Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, in the famous story with the 400 prophets, and with Eliyahu with the fire coming down from heaven, Eliyahu Navi told them to do something God said not to do. Normally, if a Navi comes to you and tells you to go against Torah, so you know he's not a real Navi, because he's telling you to go against Hashem. In the days of Eliyahu, which was after the first Beis HaMikdash was built, right? Any altars outside Yerushalayim was forbidden. Right? We learned that before in the Chumash. Once Malkum HaShiyivchar Hashem, you're not allowed to bring a korb anywhere else. What did Eliyahu Har Karmel did? He built a mizbeach, and he brought korbanos. Chayra, he's going against the Torah. So the Medrash and the Gemara, the Poskim, they all talk about it. They say like this. Because Eliyahu Navi was proven already to be a Tzadi Gomor, a Navi Emes, Eliyahu Navi, right? When he comes along and he says, I'm not saying altars are always permissible. I'm saying God is giving what's called Hiro Ashah. It's a unique exception to the rule. And the Navi comes, he doesn't say you could bring a carbon on a bomb on an altar that you made. He says, this is an exceptional case that God told me to do. So then the din is, if he's a proven Navi from before, then you listen to him. If he's not a proven Navi, and he's telling you to go against the Torah, you're not allowed to listen to him.
So those people that they, a few times, they say something, and it comes through and they say, oh, look at that, he has a Ruach HaKodesh. I mean,
no, the Gemara says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nevuah is given to fools and kids. Shaitim v'ktanim, the Gemara says. So if somebody says Nevuah, they're a fool. But you know something? There's a Gemara that says, Chacham, and this brought down Allah also, Chacham Adif Mi Navi. A Chacham is even better than a Navi. Even Torah is higher than Nevuah. There's certain things, Nevuah speaks practical to the person, down to earth. Torah is abstract a lot of times. But Torah itself is greater than Nevuah. And that's why in certain levels, the Chacham, the Gemara says, is Adif Mi Navi. Because a Chacham could see the Neila, the future, not from hocus pocus like the Goyim would do, just through intellect. He could see what's going to be the outcome of it. The long term. You know, that's what it means. A Chacham, who's a Chacham that sees the future, meaning the Chacham doesn't look at the now. Chacham looks at the long term evolution of things, what it's going to cause, and then he says it's no good. Or he says it's good because eventually good is going to come out. But it's much different than the Nevuah. It's not Nevuah, it's a din of Chacham, other than Navi.
Rabbi.
What?
Big Kabbalist. Is Navi or not?
No.
No?
Not necessarily. They might have Ruach HaKodesh. It says in Sfarim that all the Poskim that wrote the commentaries until the Shach and Taz all wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh. Afterwards, many, the great ones wrote with Ruach HaKodesh, some one with Ruach HaKodesh. But the great codifiers, Shulchan Aruch is with Beis Yosef, right? With Ruach HaKodesh. Not Nevuah, it was written, divinely inspired. And therefore every word is exact. Every letter is exact. You learn out laws from the order of that. In fact, even the Rambam, by the way, the Mefarshim of the Rambam explains, if you look in the Akdom of all the Mefarshim of the Rambam, the Yad Malachi with the Ravid, they learn out halachas from the order of the Rambam putting halachas. Or where the Rambam puts the halacha. Where the Rambam puts halacha, you learn halacha. I'll give you an example that comes to mind. It says, you have to honor your father and mother. Okay? Except in two times you don't have to listen to them.
Against the Torah?
No, besides against the Torah. They're even good. To learn Torah and to marry. In other words, according to halacha, if a guy wants to marry a girl, or a girl wants to marry a boy, and the parents don't want, halachically, if they go to a Rav says, you know, halachically, you don't have to listen to your parents. If, a bit, by the way, let me just clarify, Poskim say you should still discuss it with them because they're smarter and older, and as we know, the churbonis, the terrible disasters that come from it. But push comes to shove, halach, okay. Or a kid wants to learn in one yeshiva, and the parents want him to learn in another yeshiva. So the din is you don't have to listen to your parents because Torah is more important than Kibbut Aveim. Now, got the din? Torah versus Kibbut Aveim, Torah is more important than Kibbut Aveim. Now, if you have two choices, where to put this halacha? Should it be in the laws of Torah, or should it be in the laws of Kibbut Aveim?
Kibbut Aveim.
What?
It should be in Kibbut Aveim, but it's not.
If it's a choice of Torah or Kibbut Aveim, so the halacha is, you learn Torah, not Kibbut Aveim, right? So logically, where should that law be? In the laws of learning Torah. In the laws of learning Torah, it should say that it's so important, you don't even have to honor your parents. And the contrary, it shouldn't be in the laws of Kibbut Aveim, because the halacha is telling you not to listen to them. Correct? So the halacha really should be, if you just stop to think for a minute, the halacha should be in the laws of Talmud Torah. In the laws of learning Torah, it should say that learning Torah is so important that it overrides listening to your parents. It shouldn't say it in Kibbut Aveim, because you're not listening to the parents. Right? Where does the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch put this halacha? In the laws of Kibbut Aveim. Everybody guessed right, but for the wrong reason. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch write this law, not in the law. It should at least say it in the laws of Talmud Torah. It doesn't even say it there. In the laws of Kibbutz Avaim, it says you don't have to listen to them for learning Torah. So the Mefarshim say, the Rebbe mentioned this many times, but the Poskim write this. One second. From here you see that by not listening to the parents to learn, you're getting the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim.
It booked.
In other words, if the law would say in Torah, in Talmud Torah, it would say you don't have to listen to your parents, that means, okay, it overrides Kibbutz Avaim. The fact is what the Poskim write. The fact that the Rambam says this halacha in the laws of Kibbutz Avaim, and he says don't listen to them to learn Torah, that teaches us that by not listening to the parents to learn Torah, where's the halacha? In the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim. That means you're getting the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avaim. Now, if me and you write a book, trust me, it really doesn't matter. Nobody's going to learn anything from what we do. Where we put it here or there, because, you know, we don't know what we're talking about. But when people that wrote the Ruach HaKodesh, and it ends up to be like that based on Torah, so then it's Torah, it's godly, it's godliness, and then you learn a lot of things from it. And this, and that, and why it's here, and the order, and it. That's it. But that's not Nevuah, it's Ruach HaKodesh. But
if the parents, they pay for the yeshiva,
we're not learning halacha now. I'm just giving an example of things that were written by Ruach HaKodesh. You could derive anything from it, you know, because it's all divinely inspired, and therefore Hashem is basically writing it. Instead, the Rambam wrote it, but it's Ruach HaKodesh means Hashem is guiding, inspiring him what to write, so what he's writing is godly.
This is a strange, you told me the kids, they don't should obey parent for marriage. That's strange.
That's the halacha. But the poskim write, I could show you inside the poskim if you want to show it to everybody. The poskim write, nevertheless, they should discuss it with the parents and take the mind into consideration. But we had cases already in the past, even with yeshivas and this and that. Bottom line is, if a boy, I don't mean an 8-year-old, if a guy wants to marry a girl, or a girl wants to marry a boy, and the parents are against the shidduch, and push comes to shove, can I marry the, halachically, they want to know, am I allowed to marry this girl, or am I allowed to marry the boy? If they ask you a shayla, the answer is yes. That's the halacha. What can you do? The Rav, if he has any brains, will tell me, you know, you should really take your parents' opinion into consideration. They probably know better. Maybe you should wait a while, or whatever it is. But push comes to shove, halachically, there's nothing you can do.
Don't say in front of
me. I'm not getting into these halacha. I just gave this as an example. As an example, the thing that are written by Ruach HaKodesh, why it's in this order, in this order, in this way, in this halacha. That's what it is.
So, Kabbalists, they have Ruach HaKodesh. That's the only thing they have.
If they have it, if they're real Kabbalists, they have Ruach HaKodesh. If they're fakers, they're fakers. I was told somebody, they're walking to Shul this week, the Rebbe Rashab was a younger brother. He was the younger brother. His older brother refused to be Rebbe. He was also a very great man. He refused to be Rebbe. So the younger brother, after many years, finally, his brother pushed him, everybody. So finally he became Rebbe. So somebody asked the older brother, the Rav Zalman Aryan, his name was, they asked him, "No, is your brother fit to be a Rebbe?" So he said like this, "You're either a Rebbe, or you're a faker. There's no in between." And he says, "My brother for sure is not a faker." Okay? So in other words, so he's a rabbi, he's fit to be a rabbi. It's either a rabbi or a faker, there's nothing in between. That's, but again, this pasuk is saying on top of 1034, this pasuk is saying that not always, in fact the Mefarshim say it, that like Yoyinu with Nineveh, they give another example. The Gorari is a commentator, and Rashi gives another example. Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu that he's going to bring him back. V'shafti v'shol no beis avi, right? God told him by the dream, you're going to be okay coming back, yeah? Yet this week's parsha, v'yishlach, Yaakov is petrified of Esav.
Yeah.
So the question, where was his amuna? Where was his amuna? Hashem promised to me, I'm going to bring you home safely. Yeah? No ISIS. And Yaakov in Vayira made, he's very, well, why? So Mepharshim answered two things. Yaakov thought maybe his sins, maybe he sinned and that's going to cause a change. Or he says he was not afraid about himself, because when Hashem promised him, it was Kibamakli of Artyus here, then is that when he crossed, when Hashem promised him, he was all by himself. And now he has two big camps. They were never promised. They're going to be brought home safely. So Yaakov, about me, I'm not worried, because Hashem promised me. I'm worried about everybody else. But the bottom line is, something like tshuva could change a nevuah. So if it's prophesized bad, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that the prophecy was wrong.
Rabbi.
What?
So over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu says that you ask me to speak,
mm-hmm.
if they wouldn't ask, Hashem would always speak to the people?
Now, let me ask you a question. If Adam and Chava didn't sin, would they still be alive today? Maybe. If the Jews didn't sin in the golden calf, it would be with Mashiach and Eretz Yisrael. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we would all be happy.
So in other words,
this was part of the plan.
God wanted.
By Matan Torah, and by the way, it was considered a sin on the Jews. Hashem was upset. Hashem was upset with the Jews. He said, I'm speaking to you, and all of a sudden you're coming along and says, no, this is too much for us, let's speak through an agent. Hashem was upset with the Jews.
So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying?
But there's an Indian in Torah of a Nevuah. There has to be a Navi. And as Rambam writes in Dani Mamins, it's one of the fundamental beliefs in Torah, that Hashem misnabev
l'bnei Adam. So Moshe Rabbeinu is blaming the Jews?
No. He's just not blaming them. He's saying, this is the fact. You asked for a Navi. Hashem said, fine, you're getting Navi to bring you the word of Hashem. If they didn't ask that by Matan Torah, would Hashem be revealing himself directly to the people? I don't know, maybe something else would have happened. But obviously that's part of the plan, that it shouldn't be like that.
Was it because maybe the revelation was too much for them to be able to handle it? What was it,
but let me ask you a question. If Hashem is doing it, obviously it would have worked. Mm-hmm. Right? So, whatever. The Jews basically didn't merit. No, what can I tell you? Could have had the... Okay, let's start Perek Yutes. Ki yachris Hashem alakacha sagoyim, when Hashem will cut down, meaning destroy the nations of Eretz Yisrael that you're coming to conquer. V'yirishtam you'll inherit it, be a shaft of Bateim, and you'll live in the cities of Bateim. This is starting the whole mitzvah of Ari Miklat. Here is the source, really, in Chumash of Ari Miklat, even though it's mentioned very, very briefly in one pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Elikim Ino Yodei, V'samtil Chomokim Ashiyon Neshama. But here is the dinam of Ari Miklat in the full gamut of the Torah's laws of Ari Miklat. In one of these psukim that we'll see, not today probably, but this is, the Rambam uses one of the psukim in this page to prove that the Torah speaks about the coming of Mashiach. Because it says there's going to be six Ari Miklat, and then Hashem says at the bottom of the page, Im Yach Hashem Lakech HaZgulcha, Hashem will broaden your boundaries, then make another three. Then it'll be nine. Right? Bottom line, it never happened. So why is the Torah saying, it's going to happen? If it never happened, why is the Torah saying it? So the Torah is alluding already to the time of Mashiach. in Chumash, you see it's approved, the Rambam says, in the laws of Mashiach, that the Torah, even though clearly the Torah doesn't speak about the coming of Mashiach, because Mashiach has to be fundamental belief. It can't be in the Torah, it has to be fundamental belief. But the Torah alludes to the concept of Mashiach in many different places. Okay, so he says like this. When you will conquer the Goyim, Shalish Arim Tavdoloch, you should separate three cities. V'seich Atzecho, in the land, Asher Hashem Alakecho Neisen L'chol Arishto, where Hashem is giving you his inheritance. Okay, so you need to have three. And this, by the way, as we will soon learn, these were the three cities that Moshe Rabbeinu made on this side of the Yarden. Remember, they conquered Sichon and Og, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, and half of Menashe took over that land. Right? So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, even though you really need to wait for the other three and their central Eretz Yisrael, right? Where the other 9.5 tribes lived. You need to wait for those three also to be. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Gemara said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, a mitzvah that Hashem has given me to do, let me do at least what I could do. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, in this land that you're conquering now, Sichon and Og, you have to make three Ari Miklat. Three others were in mainland Eretz Yisrael, with the three others. And the Gemara asks an interesting question. This is 2.5 tribes. This is 9.5 tribes. 3 and 3?
With me.
It's a pretty bad proportion. And the Gemara said, in Gilad, there were a lot of murderers. Because there were a lot of murderers, there was much more accidental murders on this Eivei HaYarden proportionally than there was in Eretz Yisrael. So they needed 3 here and 3 there. When Mashiach comes, there'll be another 3. It'll be 9 altogether.
9?
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi, why would you need it when Mashiach comes then?
That is a question which is discussed, and we will, when we get to those psukim, we'll discuss it. The Rabbi has all sikh on it. There's other mafashim that discuss what is the purpose of Ari Miklat, of killing somebody accidentally. When Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any evil, even accidental. But there's a whole explanation for it. Okay. So it says like this. Tachin l'cha aderech, prepare yourself the way. Meaning, it's so interesting. The Torah says like this. This pasuk, let me say the pasuk outside before we learn it inside. Number one, it had to be extremely accessible.
Close.
Not accessible, meaning at every crossroads, there was a sign, Miklat, which direction. Didn't have GPS in those days. So, at every, called Parashas Derachim, any crossroads, there was a sign which way was Miklat, number one. To make it easy that a guy is running away, because don't forget, I mean, we didn't even get into the din yet. You kill somebody accidentally, which itself the Torah elaborates on what the details are. You kill somebody accidentally, so the relatives of the avenger can kill you.
Right away.
Unless if you're in the Ari Miklat. So the Torah says you need to make it very, very accessible to be able to, there were signs Miklat and everything. Number one, the Torah says, number two, the Torah uses the word Vishilash Taz Gvul Artzecha. You have to divide the land into three. And as you can't make three Ari Miklat close together and the other part nothing. You have to divide the land in three. And put one Ari Miklat in each section. That it be centralized for any Jew, no matter where they killed somebody, to be able to get to the accessibility to get to the Ari Miklat. So that's what Tachin L'cha Derech, the Gemara says, it says Miklat Miklat, meaning the arrow, which way was Ari Miklat, V'shilash Tez Gvul Artzecha, meaning they have to divide the land into three, put one at the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end. There should be equal space between them. Any murderer should be able to run there. And the Gemara learns out, even says here, all murderers. And the Gemara says, Echad Mezid Vechad Shegig, whether he killed somebody intentionally or accidentally, they ran to the city of refuge. In other words, even Bezdin had to try somebody for intentionally killing somebody. The first thing the guy did was run to the city of refuge, Adi Miklot.
It not depend on population or some, but shouldn't depend on population of the city, you know, if the city is like
more. The Adi Miklot were for the, we'll see, there's a lot of dinim that Amram brings down. He's the only one who talks about these things because it's not relevant today. There's a lot of dinim, you have to pay rent. It says a student, a Torah student, that ends up running to the city of refuge, his rabbi has to go with him to learn Torah with him. Basically, the only limitation was that he couldn't leave the city without opening himself up to get killed from the avenger. But the city was a regular city. In addition, this the Torah doesn't talk about, this the Chacham talk about. In addition to the 6 Ari Miklat, there are 42 cities given to the Levium to live in. So the Levium had 42 cities to live in, plus the 6 Ari Miklat. Yeah? And all 42 cities were Ari Miklat. But it wasn't officially only 6. In a certain respect, I'm pretty sure, I have to check that up again. I'm pretty sure that even the Adi Levium, there's also a difference if they have to pay rent or not pay rent, whatever.
So it's like an open jail.
Huh? A country club.
That rich guy, they're going to jail here.
No, it was mamish. The Torah says, v'chai shama. The Torah, here. You see in the next passage we didn't get to yet. It says v'chai, and the Torah says you have to give him to live like he lived before. Mela, if he had a rabbi, the rabbi has to go with him there to teach him all the.
About wife and children. And
yeah, they also want. If they wanted to. If they didn't
double,
want to.
Double prison, huh?
I don't know. But
is the idea that the Rebbe has to go with him because if the Rebbe would have, quote unquote, taught him maybe in a different way, so to speak, then this wouldn't have happened? Because isn't also the Rebbe kind of also having a judgment, so to speak, by him having to move to this place and give up his normal life?
No, he doesn't have to give up. He can, like, go back
travel.
And forth. Yeah, he could travel, but in other words, it says that the person needs to have. Okay, it's too late for today. And the Mitzvah, by the way, next Monday night is Yutis Kislev, so there's a citywide thing in La Brea, so there's not a share next Monday night. But the Mitzvah, oh, and then 2 weeks is Hanukkah. Yeah, this is it for a while.
Second night of the class?
No, next week is Yutis Kislev, the week after that is Hanukkah. The week after that we'll have a class. Hanukkah we don't have, just think things going on every night. Okay, so let me just say something in a nutshell. Obviously, in 2 weeks, we're going to have to elaborate on it more.
Which day is
a guy.
Sunday night, so then Monday to the next Monday, no? And then next Monday also.
No, but the last Hanukkah light is Sunday night. So Monday is finished. Only parties when they have Hanukkah light. Last night of Hanukkah. It's explained, and again, it's really. To do this right, I mean, we need much more time. But if you stop to think for a minute, a guy falls down a ladder, and we'll learn why I'm saying falling down a ladder, not going up a ladder, falling down a ladder. He falls on his best friend by mistake. You see it's a mistake. It's not somebody he hates and falls just to kill him. Hitaka is his best friend, and he falls down, and he kills him. Complete accident. Right? Why in the world does he have to run to city of refuge? What did he do already? I mean, okay, he killed somebody, but did he mean to?
But isn't it specifically for those who kill somebody accidentally, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm saying, the Gemara says, even if you killed somebody intentionally, first you went there, and then the court would take you out to judge you. But I'm saying, what in the world did the guy do already?
Is neshama, there's something like...
So the answer in a nutshell is, if this person had no connection to murder whatsoever, Hashem would have never made such a terrible thing come through him. And the fact that it happened through this person, again, you need to elaborate on this concept. The fact that Hashem allowed murder to happen through this person means, at least in a very refined way, the person's a murderer. Because if the person has no connection to murder whatsoever, but murder is a broad term, embarrassing somebody is a murderer. There's a lot of issues that
same
the Gemara says.
Same thing with a car accident.
Yeah, same thing with a car accident. Halachically, they would have to run to city refuge. I'm not talking you're speeding drunk and that's intentional. Saying, mamish, a normal situation. Not only that, chas v'shalom, I mean, a guy is driving a car normal speed and somebody comes in front of the car. Even the cops say, okay, nothing. I mean, well, you know, it's accident. It's not so simple that you don't have to run to Ari McQuaid.